Sunshine from Frank Chaxfield, Thermometer. And I'm Jim Lowe. And I hope this won't shake up your Flag Day festivities, but it's a fact that Betsy Ross did not make the first flag. And much to the lady's credit, she never claimed she did. More about that later. Right now, Leslie Gore has a day of her own to celebrate, the Lazy Day, with a little 98.6 thrown in for good measure.
Thank you.
it just can't be true that some of today's singing groups pick their names out of a hat. Otherwise, we'd be playing the latest by 6 7/8. Ouch, that felt bad. The original name of the fifth dimension was slightly smaller in concept. The three dimensions for height, length, and width, of course. Then somebody, remembering his Einstein, added time, and they became the fourth dimension. Then somebody added the most important ingredient for a singing group, sound. Aha, the fifth dimension. So much for the name, but Lamont McLemore explained to monitors Jack Hayes a few more of the group's unique dimensions.
How would you describe your harmony? Contemporary, dissonant, perhaps with a little element of modern jazz in it?
But definitely, we started out with this in mind, singing jazz, good singing, and lots of dissonance and a lot of harmony, but always keeping the beat.
As a group of five, three men and two very attractive girls, do you have any personality problems? Are there ever times when you find it difficult to get along?
Well, you know, when people are in love and married, they find times when they have difficulties and some problems, and they're from New Jersey and Pennsylvania, but our parents all know each other, and they all get along, and they go out together. You know, it's like brothers, really, not just five people that we just met, and, you know, they just might break up because we don't like one another or whatever, but we can argue, but, like, by knowing your own folks and all, it only goes to a certain extent, you know, because we respect each other, and we've been living with each other for so long until, well, so we understand it's a hassle today, it won't be anything tomorrow, which we're going to study voice. Acting, well, we've done it, but we want to do it as a group. And because we're looking forward to our own special, and then maybe a series, and then movies eventually, you know, but we want to be ready rather than something coming up and we're not ready. Billy and I, and Ron has played in Porgy and Bess. Billy and I were in Dr. Doolittle, and some segments of Batman and The Man from Uncle, and I got interested in it, so I hope it can keep up.
Outstanding. The very best of luck to you. I've been talking to Lamont McLemore of the Fifth Dimension. This is Jack Hayes for Monitor.
The Fifth Dimension is sound. This sound.
I'll stay with you when I'm a star.
have to do with compassion and conservation, but you'll find out shortly, not to mention anon, here on the Monitor Beacon. This is Joel Bryan. Spend your summer with me weekdays 5 to 9 a.m. right here.
In New York, WNBC.
This is the place, the summertime place.
660 WNBC.
Today, there are blind people teaching in public schools and colleges. There are blind executives in business. Surprising? Would you believe blind physicists? Much of this progress results from the inspired work of Helen Keller, who died a year ago this month. Her work must go on as long as blindness exists. You can help. Get to know your local agencies for the blind. They're devoted to the education of blind children and to the training and employment of blind adults. Blind people are achieving more independence every day. Take a new look at blindness. Write to the American Foundation for the Blind, Box 111, New York 10011.
WNBC, Radio 660, New York. Monitor, I'm Jim Lowe, and here's Eddie Arnold, who knows what to do with a love song.
So it's raining again, and the wind's up and around. I've been swept through the streets to be washed up at your door. But you're with him, I know. So I'll call back later on. Why do I need you so? But for love, I'd be gone.
Incorporated, another massacre of seals is about to happen, and this time it's closer to home. Last April, the organization was not successful in persuading the Canadian government to halt the killings, and more than 260,000 baby seals were clubbed to death at that time. Now a campaign is being mounted to persuade our government to intervene in a similar fur hunt scheduled to begin on the 25th of this month on the Pribilof Islands, United States territory, and that's just off southwest Alaska. Mr. Brian Davies of the New Brunswick, Canada SPCA is one of the leaders of the campaign, and Frank Gorin of NBC News questioned him for Monitor.
Mr. Davies, just what's going to happen on the Pribilof Islands on June 25th?
Men employed by your Department of the Interior are going to herd together some 65,000 friendly and, I think, rather intelligent animals, and with long wooden clubs are going to proceed to beat them to death in what must be one of the most brutal massacres in the world.
Why club the seals?
No other reason than to provide fur coats for people who can afford them.
Yeah, well, is this not a legitimate market?
It's not an illegal market, but you might question the legitimacy of the market on ethical and moral grounds.
Officials of the Department of Interior have advanced important reasons like employment and conservation why this practice should continue. Do you have any comments on that?
Employment alone is never a good enough reason for killing either animals or humans. Because somebody makes money killing them doesn't make it a good enough reason for doing that. As far as the conservation aspect is concerned, it seems to me rather paradoxical when you say, fine, we need conservation, we'll save the animals to kill them. That doesn't make sense.
Well, wouldn't the same logic apply to deer hunting, for example?
It would.
Mr. Davies, here's a quote from an encyclopedia which I read last night preparing for this conversation with you. To prevent extinction of seals on Pribilof Island, the United States, Great Britain, Japan, and Russia entered into an agreement in 1911. Under United States supervision, the seal herd has greatly increased. Any comment on that?
That's true. I would say, however, that the only reason the United States government became as concerned as it did was for the dollars and cents involved.
Well, Mr. Davies, June 25th is getting closer all the time. Do you have any specific suggestions for those who may agree with your position?
Well, I'd say, first of all, that anyone listening to me who doesn't agree with our position hasn't given much thought to it. Okay? Now, for those who do, and I hope that's most of you, they can do two things. One, write to the President of the United States. It's his hunt. Secondly, if they want to continue supporting this work, write to the Friends of Animals Incorporated on 11 West 60th Street, New York.
Your publications have also listed 550 other species which you say are near extinction. Could you tell us about a few, especially those familiar to Americans?
Well, I suppose the species most in danger in the United States would be the alligator in the Everglades in Florida. Now, these are being poached and killed in their hundreds of thousands merely to provide rather inconsequential leather items for, again, women of fashion and occasionally men who like to wear fancy shoes. Again, the women of fashion are probably going to see the end of the spotted cats because of their insatiable desire for pretty spotted fur coats.
Well, what is your organization doing about that, the spotted cats, the alligators, and the deer?
Well, I think that in essence what we're doing is trying to persuade women that they look rather vulgar and coarse when they wear fur coats.
Mr. Brian Davies of the New Brunswick, Canada Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, who these days, more than ever, seems to have plenty of work ahead of him. This is Frank Gorin, NBC News for Monitor.
Thank you, gentlemen. Today you can't tell the vocal group from the title, with or without a scorecard, but I think the group is Strawberry Alarm Clock, and the title is Starshine. But it could be the other way around. a minor discomfort if something gets in your eye, but it could be a major tragedy if that something is sleep.
Well, occasionally I take trips at night, and I find myself driving and looking at the white line. You know, this becomes a little hazardous. Well, I remember occasion when I found myself on the grass. I was, you know, really shocked. It was only the horns of the other cars.
When you're tired, don't drive. When you're rested, but the monotony of driving makes you drowsy, pull over, take a break, and take two for the road. Two no-dose action aids. They've got the strongest stimulant you can buy without a prescription, yet they're not habit-forming. No-dose action aids. No car should be without them.
From Monitor Sports, there's a new development in the Joe Namath story. The June 20th edition of Life magazine, released tonight, says that at least 13 Cosa Nostra kingpins and gamblers have visited Joe Namath's bar. The magazine also says the New York Jets quarterback who quit pro football rather than sell his interest in the bar knew many of them. Life says that Namath was told back in 1966 that two individuals with whom he was associating and who later became regulars at his bar were Cosa Nostra chiefs. And we'll have more on the Namath story later tonight on Monitor. But now, here's a word about trumpets. No Herb Alpert should be without them. By Herb Alpert. If you're listening to Monitor around Richmond, Virginia, that's WRVA on your radio dial. And this is Jim Lowe. Basic truth that every man should keep in mind tomorrow on Father's Day. Behind each successful man, there's a proud wife and a rather skeptical mother-in-law. Hugo Montenegro has the key to a good family life. Happy together.
Imagine me and you, I do. I think about you day and night. It's only right to think about the good you've done.
That'll open your eyes.
I was driving through sometime around 3 o'clock at night. I had fallen asleep, and all of a sudden, waking up and seeing myself in the left lane and seeing a semi-tractor trailer coming straight at me. I don't know what woke me up. Maybe it was the...
When you're tired, don't drive. When you're rested, but the monotony of driving makes you drowsy, pull over, take a break, and take two for the road. Two no-dose action aids. They've got the strongest stimulant you can buy without a prescription, yet they're not habit-forming. No-dose action aids. No car should be without them.
A lot of wheels are turning in the background of pro football. Guy LeBeau learned just what besides footballs may be in the air in a monitor open-line conversation with Buffalo Bills quarterback Jackie Kemp, president of the American Football League Players Association.
Jackie Kemp, there have been stories that you're working behind the scenes to effect a rapprochement between Joe Namath and Commissioner Pete Rozelle. Is that true?
Well, it's true, Guy. We don't have any panacea, but I think that as president of the AFL Player Association, that the major function of the Player Association is to help solve or ameliorate the situation and certainly not jeopardize it or jeopardize the chances for a reconciliation by making public statements. So we do take a stand, but our stand is not public because we want to enhance the chances for reconciliation and not jeopardize them.
Jackie, you sound like you're convinced that Namath is serious, that he will retire.
Well, let me say this. I think he was serious when he retired. I think he is a very strong individual, and that's one of the reasons why he's had such great success. I would hope, personally, on my own behalf, and then collectively on behalf of the Players Association and the Players of the American Football League, that he would see more of the position that he is in and pro football is in and try to get together with the commissioner and solve this problem.
Jackie, I don't know whether you've spoken to Joe Namath's teammates. Some of them have said that they'll quit, in fact have quit, if Joe doesn't play next year. Now, from your own conversations, are they serious? Are they caught up in the emotion of the situation? Just what?
Well, they're subjectively involved, and I certainly have to respect their decision. They made it just like Joe made his. I have not talked to the individual parties involved. I've talked to the player representatives, Larry Grantham and Dave Herman. I've talked to Bob Talamini and a former teammate of Joe's, Billy Neighbors. And I know that all those players want to see Joe back, and they too agree that what they're most interested in right now is trying to get the two parties together.
Jackie Kemp, Joe Namath also said his action was one of principle. Pete Rozelle said that his action was for the best interests of the game of football. Now, is there one player bigger than the game of football?
I guess in the long run, over the long view, and for the future of pro football, I think even Joe himself would say that no one person is bigger than pro football. And the commissioner has a responsibility to protect and promote the integrity of the game, and there are hundreds of lives and livelihoods of many football players and many other people who are connected with pro football, and all rests on public confidence in the game. The commissioner has the responsibility, as well as the players, to help preserve that integrity.
Thank you very much, Jackie Kemp, quarterback of the Buffalo Bills, president of the American Football Players Association, on Monitor's Open Line. This is Guy LeBeau, Monitor Sports.
Oh, no, things are different.
Philharmonic Morning Girl, joining you this Saturday evening here on the Monitor Beacon.
It's about weekend time.
Weekend time. Beach time. Big Wilson time. That's what it's all about. The Big Wilson Show, Sundays 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. This is the place, Radio 660.
Returning to unify Italy, Giuseppe Garibaldi lived for 18 months at 420 Tompkins Avenue, Staten Island. This is Paul Parker of the New York Landmarks Preservation Commission inviting you to visit the Garibaldi Memorial. Open weekdays 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., Sundays and holidays 1 to 5 p.m. Visit the Garibaldi Memorial soon and see how New York's past has been preserved for the future.
WNBC, Radio 660, New York. Monitor, on its birthday, and Flag Day, too, of course. How do our soldiers in Vietnam feel this Flag Day about the announcement that some of them will be coming home soon? Well, here's a report by Jack Russell, NBC News, Saigon.
The soldiers of two brigades from the 9th Infantry Division are celebrating. They're the lucky ones who will be going home in the first major American withdrawal. But 9th Division soldiers, staying or leaving, have serious thoughts about the pullout.
I think everybody's kind of excited about it. I think the morale has gone up 100%. But yet, I personally, myself, think it might be a little too soon for the pullout. I don't think the Vietnamese people are ready to assume the full burden of this war, or the part of the war that they are right now. Two brigades that I'm not in. There's three brigades, and the first and second are going, and I'm not. So I'm stuck for another 6 months.
Those were soldiers of the 9th Division, which will soon send home two-thirds of its troops. Jack Russell, NBC News, Saigon.
Jim Lowe here with another fact about Flag Day. Did you know that although Francis Scott Key wrote the words of the Star-Spangled Banner during the War of 1812, it didn't actually become our official national anthem until 1916, when Woodrow Wilson issued a presidential order, and even then, Congress didn't confirm it until 15 years later, in 1931. Another monitor first, or second or third, anyway. Here's a song you might call a seasonal anthem, at least for the next few months, from Miss Brenda Lee.
Bring me sunshine in your smile.
Tennessee. Are the laws against the use of LSD stringent enough? Does the punishment fit the crime? Well, here's a monitor report by Dr. Donald B. Luria, president of the New York State Council on Drug Addiction.
1 year ago, I testified before the United States Congress urging that they establish tough laws in regard to LSD. I don't retract that one bit. LSD is an extraordinarily dangerous drug with the capacity to ruin a user, either physically or mentally or both, and perhaps even permanently. At that time, there was no federal law penalizing an individual for possessing LSD. Now our laws at a federal level, and in many states, make it a misdemeanor to possess LSD and a felony to sell it. I absolutely agree with those laws. That drug is so dangerous, we have every right to impose them. Indeed, I think we ought to go further. To me, one of the most heinous offenses is giving an individual LSD without that person's knowledge. After all, what happens to him is that he takes the drug, he has no knowledge he's ingested it, all of a sudden he realizes that he's going crazy, and he doesn't recognize that he's taken a drug and may recover. I know of people who have been given the drug under these circumstances and been hospitalized in mental hospitals for months or have panic reactions that tend to recur or persist for weeks, months, or even years. My own feeling is that if an individual, for example, slips LSD into somebody's soft drink or into the coffee or in any other way gives it to an individual without that person's knowledge, that that ought to be a major penalty with something like a minimum 5-year sentence. I think with LSD, we just shouldn't play around. We should suppress that drug because of its extraordinary potential for harm. This is Donald B. Luria for Monitor.
Thank you, sir. If you have a question relating to any part of the drug situation, send it along to Dr. Luria, L-O-U-R-I-A, care of Monitor, NBC Radio, New York City, and he'll try to answer it in a future broadcast. Here's Roy Clark, Looking Back. Said, here's Roy Clark looking back. Well, Roy was looking so far back that he missed his turn at bat. Let that be a lesson, Roy. The sun is 92,900,000 miles above your favorite beach or pool, as the case may be. But don't let that fool you.
Sunny weekends and out, we go to soak up the sun. But sometimes we soak up too much sun too fast. Then what happens?
Sunburn. Suddenly you feel on fire. At night you toss and turn.
Painful sunburn is so needless. Solarcaine stops sunburn pain fast. Faster and more completely than ordinary first aids. Because Solarcaine contains pain-killing benzocaine, used by doctors. Solarcaine cools, soothes, aids healing too. Contains two antiseptics. Helps prevent infection. Get lotion, cream, or spray today. Stop sunburn pain with Solarcaine. When eating too much or too fast causes pressure and gas, Digel works as no plain antacid can. It neutralizes excess acid and has the extra action of simethicone that breaks up bubbles of gas. D-I-G-E-L, Digel, the extra action antacid for more complete relief.
Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave. Those familiar words were written 155 years ago by a lawyer, Francis Scott Key, who was trapped at Fort McHenry, Baltimore, during one night of merciless bombardment. Today, Flag Day, the fort again was the scene of honors to the flag.
Band played at the Grand Old Flag as National Flag Day was celebrated here in Baltimore at Fort McHenry, the home of the Star-Spangled Banner. Instead of the original flag, now faded and permanently hung in the Smithsonian Institute, the Star-Spangled Banner today was played under a full-sized replica of that original huge flag, measuring 30 by 42 feet. So big, in the words of one speaker, that it practically shouted defiance of the young nation during 2 days and nights of shelling from what was then the world's most powerful navy. The pledge to the flag was read by Ellen Mandel, daughter of Maryland Governor Marvin Mandel.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God,
and so the nation paid homage to the men who held fast 155 years ago through one of the country's darkest hours. This is Jim Young reporting for Monitor from Baltimore.
According to a news report this week, the sales of small flags for display in windows, cars, buildings, and homes has increased more than 1,000% during the past 5 years. It's a good thing. And if people understand the sense as well as the symbolism of it, it's an unbeatable thing. Now here's a Monitor tip for those who are on a motoring trip this holiday weekend. If your car's right wheels go off the roadway and onto the soft shoulder, don't try to turn back sharply while traveling at the same speed, because the wheels on the highway and the wheels on the soft shoulder have different traction, you see. And that sharp move could send you hurtling out of control into the opposite lane of traffic. Just maintain steering control while reducing speed, and then smoothly move back onto the highway. Now here's another idea for safer driving.
All you need to know what I told you before, it's family.
Yes, all you need to know about motor oil is it's Valvoline, because Valvoline is the high-performance motor oil that's race-proof for your car.
All you need to know about motor oil, it's Valvoline.
Valvoline, another fine product of Ashland Oil and Refining Company.
On the eve of the French national election, a last-minute poll was conducted to see which of the two candidates was ahead. But the poll takers were pretty startled when one man they questioned insisted it would be de Gaulle. And when they carefully explained to him that de Gaulle had retired, was no longer the nation's leader, and would have no influence after the election, the man's answer was the French equivalent of, "You want to bet?" Firm it up. NBC News on the Hour next. I'm Jim Lowe.
streets are filthier than I have ever seen in all of my life. The sanitation department has not enforced its own laws or maintained its own schedules.
The voice is Robert Wagner. The subject is the city.
I knew a man who had a very glamorous wife. Everyone envied him, but really, he was not a happy man because she was an awful housekeeper. New York is like that now. We all agree that the mayor is glamorous, but the garbage trucks do not come. There's a primary Tuesday, June 17th. I'm in it, and I do need your vote.
Vote line 6912. Bob Wagner for mayor, Cy Thaler for controller, Hugh Carey for council president.
I am still not a movie star, but then New York is not a movie.
A paid political announcement by citizens for Wagner, Thaler, and Carey.
Early morning is the best time for it. The Joe O'Brien Show, weekdays 5 to 9 a.m. on WNBC Radio 660, New York.